You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to Go Plug Yourself. We've been talking to awesome people in Montreal since 2011. Just a friendly reminder that if you're going to be buying anything on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, or Zazzle.com, go to 9to5.cc first and click the links at the bottom or in the sidebar so that we get a bit of that money. Also, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and enjoy the show.
Go plug yourself. You plug in the plugger. Go plug yourself.
Walter, welcome back to the podcast, Robert Wool. And no,
did you guys hear we had? Did you guys know we had Robert Wool on the podcast?
Robert Wool,
there it is. It works every time.
The new catchphrase for the podcast is
Who's Robert Wool?
Who is that?
Robert Wool was the guy in the first Batman movie. He's like the reporter. Do you remember that character?
No.
Do you remember the first Batman movie?
Yeah. Barely.
There's the whole way by which they introduced the Batman characters through this reporter character. He's like looking into the Batman dude. And
yes. Yeah. And yes, I know who
and
that
then
is.
He's Arliss. Arliss. He had that show
Arliss on HBO.
Gotcha.
Arliss on HBO. He's a sports agent. Anyway.
I thought he was a saber
guy.
We had him on the podcast.
We had Robert Wool.
The Robert Wool.
Moving yeah. on up.
Exactly.
Cool. Today.
We are we're heading back into the world of the squared circle.
Yes.
More wrestlers or people affiliated with
Robert
wrestling.
Wool had a brief foray into Lucha Libre.
He was take him.
Late 80s.
He's pretty tall. He's got a lot of reach.
It's all right. I'm thick. Hey. Stocky.
Girthy.
A dwarf of sorts, if you will.
Who's on the show, Walter?
We got Superstar Shane Hawk. Yeah, Superstar Shane Hawk.
Introduce yourself.
And Superstar Spencer.
Jack.
No.
Jack the Shark Donovan.
Jack the Shark Donovan.
That's it. Yep.
Jack the Shark Donovan, Superstar Shane Hawk.
Yep.
And you guys are...
The Order of the Red Hand.
The Order of the Red Hand.
That's correct.
That's amazing.
Oh, fuck.
That's delightful.
Things got really serious really fast.
How are levels here?
They're good.
This feels like... Yeah.
They're all good. You can watch them go up on your
talking
talk and
at
see.
Low tone up. Is everybody good here?
Yeah, everybody is.
I feel like we're going to have to talk in real low tones about the Order of the Red Hand here.
Oh, shit. Yeah, we got to go.
We got to keep this
so,
on.
So,
it has to be
you might be able to hear. We're not in our normal location.
Jimmy Hoffa. I fucking fucked up.
Just Jimmy Hoffa.
Jimmy That's Hoffa, it. Is that the... Are you involved with Jimmy Hoffa?
Am I involved
that was
with
just
Jimmy
the,
Hoffa?
That was just the Teamsters.
Like romantically?
No, as the Order of the Red Hand. No.
I like everybody talking, oh, Jimmy Hoffa, the mystery, whatever happened to Hoffa, the Teamsters killed him. The Teamsters killed him.
I mean,
they killed him.
It's not really a mystery if everybody knows.
The Teamsters killed him and they put him in concrete. He's...
Yeah, we have nothing to do with that, and I'm
okay.
putting that on the record. We absolutely have nothing to do with any sort of Illuminati or One World Government.
Okay, but now that you've said that...
I'm putting it on the record.
Our listeners are definitely assuming that you are.
They can assume whatever they want. We're telling you the facts.
Okay, but that's just what the Illuminati would say.
Well, it's almost like we wrote the book, but hey, that's crazy talk, right?
Fuck.
So here's how this podcast
true or false,
about.
You wear glasses in real life.
I do. I'm actually legally blind.
Exactly. So now
really?
I don't know what to believe because you do not wear glasses in the ring.
Do you want to see them?
Are they really bad? What's your prescription? Like
minus 8 and minus 10 or something?
I beat you.
Oh yeah,
I'm 10 and 10.5.
Man, you kill me.
Whoa.
Yeah, right.
What is it? So like, what does ring action look like?
I see through shape and color
and smell.
You don't wear contacts?
No smell.
I have to yell so that he knows where I am during the matches.
Yeah. I legit can't see the crowd from the ring, so I'm kind of just reacting and not really paying attention.
You're like Daredevil.
You know, the first time I ever saw Shane wrestle, I went out to give him a high five. He's going out to the whole crowd, giving everybody a high five, and he grabs me by the head and headbutts me as hard as he could.
I mistimed.
Really?
It was
I thought he was a
painful.
Bit farther than he was.
Not a head.
And that was my introduction
five.
To the wrestling
headbutt.
World.
Yep.
It was getting a big headbutt.
Welcome to the business,
right
kid.
Before he fought Twiggy.
Yeah, the Canadian championship.
Let's
yeah.
clarify what's happening here. Let's sure. clarify what yeah. the hell we're talking about here right now, because right. I feel like this hasn't...
We said they're pro wrestlers.
So the pro wrestlers.
Yeah,
what
right.
is the order of the Red Hand?
The order of the...
Well, I would like to clarify that I'm
sure.
not a pro wrestler.
That is true.
I'm not. I work behind
yet.
The scenes. Yeah.
Well,
okay.
He works behind the scenes. What we do is we produce shows, we uncover secrets, and we decided to make money off of them.
Yeah,
what?
Capitalism.
Yeah. What yeah. secrets have you uncovered?
Well,
that you can share.
For
obviously.
Those of you who were at Heavy Mania this year,
I was.
Yeah, you were. You might have seen Heavy Montreal, rather, not Heavy Mania. You might have seen the Heavy Mania show, which is the show that the Order of the Red Hand produced,
yep.
Which told the story of a primordial demon who had conquered the world. who had been put to sleep by a group of fighter monks underneath Montreal.
Okay.
And the demon's dreams were responsible for all the evil in the world, such as language politics and crumbling infrastructure and bad hot dogs.
Money.
Money.
It was the best.
It was the best?
It was so the best.
I feel like...
The demon, he... the story won't be too long. Don't worry, I've told
it's
it to
super
death.
Long.
It's not super long. Okay, so he has this gauntlet.
There's
of
a
power
whole pamphlet.
Called
there's
heavy.
A lot of text.
Yes, but I'm giving you the Spark Notes version for the people who don't want to look it up. Hashtag Heavy Mania.
Not gonna lie, did not read it all.
That's my first blood. Yeah.
Hashtag Heavy Mania. Is it available on DVD?
Not yet. No.
Not yet. Will it be?
We're not sure because there's copyright issues.
We're in the process of that. If there is going to be a DVD, it's going to be without sound.
Apparently, there was like some bands performing that weekend too.
One or two.
Yeah.
Some you might have heard of. The Metallicas.
Yes.
The Metallicas.
And Slayer and the Boys, I believe, were also
playing. Offspring.
Yes. Yeah.
Offspring. Offspring.
So this demon that I was talking about, his spoken language was heavy metal music. So whenever somebody talked about metal, played metal, sang metal, they were indirectly worshiping this demon.
What? I have no idea. Sorry. Not us. You were saying?
Could have been us.
Demons.
So demon.
Was that code? Was that code?
Can I answer
Does
that?
Does she know?
I would like to plead the fifth.
I feel bad. I was like, are you guys single? Because I just sent away a kind of cute girl.
That's okay, but I don't know who knows or who doesn't know. I don't know anything, okay? Right, okay. So anyway, the demon had this gauntlet of power called the Heavy Mania, and it was the most powerful weapon in the universe.
Now, was it like a power glove?
It was like an infinity gauntlet.
Literally is a power glove.
Yeah.
Okay.
we had uncovered this information, and basically the gauntlet went missing one day, and there was supposed to be a tournament at Heavy Montreal, which there was. And it was a 16-man and woman tournament over the course of 2 days. The winner would get to win the gauntlet and has the choice of giving it back to the demon, thus damning the human race, mm-hmm. or keeping it for themselves and saving the human race.
What if they kept it for themselves for evil?
By doing that, they would be releasing the demon. Because
no, but they didn't give it to the demon. They just kept themselves. And they're like, guess what, bitches? I'm the demon now.
No, well, the evil use of the glove turns it to the demon.
And because I don't want to blow his name here, can you remind us of the victor?
The victor, Mike Omen. Michael the Mouse Omen.
Michael the Mouse Omen.
That's right. Yeah. He saved the universe, so we're allowed to openly talk about it now, which is pretty cool.
It's no longer a secret.
No, we had four factions of four. All secret societies that had entered competitors in the tournaments. Mm-hmm. Do you want to go over the factions?
There's the first faction was the Brotherhood of the Hawk. They were the guardians of the gauntlet. They had originally put the demon to sleep.
it was amazing.
The Minions of Sain, led by their immortal cannibal Akunash Ba, who had an army of undead minions.
That's right.
There was the Mohawks, which were essentially an anarchist faction who wanted to instill a blood orgy upon the world, just basically fuck everybody,
do
drugs.
And then possibly my favorite faction.
And then the best faction, in my opinion, personally speaking, as a redhead, is the Hairfire Club. The Hairfire Club were the, because some people considered the Illuminati, but...
what the Illuminati was based off of, anyway.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they came up with the whole concept of Illuminati to put people off.
Misdirection.
Brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant group of people.
Funded entirely, bankrolled by the Rothschilds.
Oh, slave labor.
Rothschilds. Burger.
The Burger Burgers, yes.
Burger. Built by Hoffs.
Yeah.
And
the Morgans, you know.
All of them.
The usual suspects.
You might have noticed there were three of them, and they were all lateral, but we won't talk about that.
What?
You lost me.
The names are all lateral. The way the names go. Anyway. If you see the so we had a fully illustrated program. I'm going to explain it.
So the names a lot of work went into this program.
Meaning what?
They go in a straight line based on the Illuminati family order.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
This is.
Yeah, there's a lot of detail into this. So we had a.
They're like one would one reason, would almost say more than there should have been.
It's almost like I was laying a foundation for great things to come.
Right. I mean, like this to me begs to be. Obviously, pursued, these factions, and also possibly turned into a movie, possibly an HBO original series.
I was thinking of a graphic novel to start.
Graphic novel?
Yeah.
Straight to HBO.
Yeah, straight to HBO. Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Tons of boobs and dicks in it.
And we're the real cell, where the real cell factor is. So there's all this craziness, and then all tied together with pro wrestling.
Well, that's the thing.
The pro wrestling is kind of secondary. The story is really what it's all about. It's an amazing show. It's not your typical wrestling show.
The pro wrestling is just the...
It's the medium.
It's the medium, yeah. Exactly. Like, it could have just as easily been gunfights.
Sure.
100%.
Just
yeah.
happened to be
Look,
pro wrestling.
The way it is
just so happens that he's a wrestler, and that's how we got that out.
Pro wrestling, right, is... The big problem with pro wrestling is that once the UFC became mainstream and they took over... Wrestling adjusted accordingly, and because that was popular, they tried to make themselves into real human beings. And we're even in the reality era right now, and attendance and started to dwindle, because if you could watch real MMA or fake MMA, which one are you going to watch?
Yeah.
Right? Now, the one thing the MMA fighters can't do is have elaborate costumes and tell a story, so...
Have a shred of charisma.
Exactly. Well, no, they can have charisma.
Some of them have
I mean, Brock Lesnar still did the bounce, so you can't fault him, but... The fact of the matter remains that if you go to an action movie and you watch Guardians of the Galaxy, say, you don't go, they're not really in space. There's raccoons don't talk. Yeah. This is stupid. Walk out.
That's the argument that I have against people pro wrestling.
Right?
Like, we were – I got into it a little argument. Look, see, you did touch it. You didn't want to touch it, and you touched it.
It sounds really creepy because nobody knows what we're talking about.
You didn't want to touch it, and then you touched it.
Is there something in this drink? Is that why?
This is the war room spinning. Yeah, so having a – Just having a conversation back and forth with a buddy of mine who is into pro wrestling on Facebook about the Brock Cena finish, how it was like, okay, they're going to do like 15 minutes of just dismantling Cena. And
that's great.
Like, oh, it was really cool. People were like, you know, it's scripted. I was like, you know, every movie that you've seen is scripted. I'm like, you can still be talking about like creative storytelling choices that they're making in the realm of pro wrestling.
Exactly.
It's just...
I don't understand why
it's
wrestling
fake.
Being yeah.
Well, it adds depth to it. There's no character behind, you know, oh, I hate this guy. And then the guys go and they grease themselves up and wrestle and they're stuck on the floor for 90% of the match. That's MMA to me. I mean, it's not that entertaining.
And I mean, not there's anything wrong with being
stuck to
the floor
for 90 minutes. So
yeah, I mean,
yeah, with a guy.
With a dude. Greased up. And
I mean, he showed up at the 45-minute mark I, for the first...
You're just lying on your back, thrashing around for the
like
first...
A turtle.
He says, Walter, just get up. I can't.
But you'd make a great wrestler.
Yeah, you need to have the backflips. You need to have the beautiful women. You need to have the guys in great shape. You know what I mean? It's the wrestling, it's its own thing, right? I mean,
it's a story. So everything in the show had characters and backstories and costumes and props. And our championship was a legitimate medieval gauntlet that we put on, you know, so...
I just want one of my favorite performers for the duration of that weekend was I don't know if he had a name. It was the gentleman that held the gauntlet.
Oh, the Guardian.
The Guardian.
That was
his
name.
He
was
the Guardian of the Gauntlet.
The Guardian of the Gauntlet.
enough praise can't be laid upon the Guardian.
No, he's the best.
Who stood for the duration of the tournament in front of the large sign holding the gauntlet. He had one task.
Well, he fucking apparently did it.
That's what I'm saying. I was greatly impressed by the skills
of
the Guardian.
What you didn't see is when he wasn't on the stage, he was walking around making sure, bringing people into the show, and he was literally shoving flyers in people's mouths. It was hilarious to watch. People really reacted very well. Yeah. It was very entertaining.
I personally don't like violence, you know, so it's great that I have people who can
shoot
down people's... I'm very much a pacifist, but, you know, it's great that I have a team.
Anybody
that
who was
flyers.
At Heavy MTL who got a pamphlet stuffed in their mouth, that was the Guardian.
Yeah. That was the Guardian. I have no idea this is a complete non sequitur. Well, it's not a total non sequitur, because all this talk of gauntlets and violence and all that stuff, I read today... That
Game of Thrones.
No, that Gwar is touring with Blothar as a singer.
I don't know.
Beefcake,
who's
if anyone knows Gwar...
I know Gwar.
Yeah, they were at Heavy last year. They were awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Well, why did I just forget his fucking name? Not Blothar, the old one. Yeah, Odorous Arungus died.
Yeah.
And then,
wait, how did you pronounce it?
Odorous Arungus?
I thought it was Ungerus.
Odorous. Anyway.
Challenge Google.
Doesn't matter.
Nope.
I think it is Ungerus, actually.
Consult the Demon Lord of Information.
Anyway.
Yugal.
Odorous died. And so they're touring again, and it was formerly Beefcake, whatever his name is, one of the fat guys, now has a new costume and is known as Blothar, and now Blothar is the singer. So
was, cool.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, because I was...
Does he do a lot of cocaine?
I don't know, man.
He's one of the original members, so...
Or like,
Blothar.
I feel like he... I feel that most members of Gwar are made of cocaine.
No, but that's pretty awesome.
Well, did you guys hear about that they did a whole like Viking ship...
At
the Gwarbecue.
Yeah, that's
yeah
so
exactly.
Cool. I was so impressed. I was reading Lamb of God. What's this singer? Randy was writing about that.
Randy Slovandy?
No, I don't know his last
name. I mean, I feel that Odorous had a pretty good run. I think he was about 10,000 years old, maybe a little more.
Yeah, something like that. Like
not as old as Sane the Demon, but still pretty up there.
Yeah, he was quite old, and he was exiled to Earth and whatever, and he had a pretty good run, I would say.
I want to tell a story, but I don't know if it's like if it transcends like the. I'll tell the story.
All right, lay it on us.
So Matt, so there was, I'll save the names, but she doesn't listen. There was somebody ahead of EMTL who's gone like the last few years, right?
Heavy Montreal.
Sure. And
what it is now?
Because they forced a change. Yes. And I'm by walking, invoking terrible pop punk.
I think I was like heading.
Bad Religion and Offspring are there now, so it's not heavy EMTL.
Offspring is fine.
Heading towards,
they're not heavy.
Heading towards Metallica or who was or Anthrax? Yes. Anthrazel.
Anthrazel.
And I'm heading there, and I'm like going through the VIP section, and you know how you could go to the back of the Molson Zone if you went through the foresty section there.
Yeah. Nobody listening
where the
knows
real
that
VIP
though.
VIP was actually.
Yeah, I was gonna say that nobody knows.
Some people know. There's a lot of people.
There's a lot of people that listen and know where the VIP section at Heavy Montreal.
So I see this. Young lady I know, and she's sitting there with a couple friends, and she's like, she's crying her eyes out. And I later found
this
out.
This is a fun story.
I later found out that because she had gotten, established a bit of a friendship with Odorous the year prior.
Hmm.
And like
a bit of a friendship?
Well, they just got kind of tight. Like it was,
yeah, kind of tight?
Yeah. I don't, it's really, okay. It's the, you're fucking up a very sweet story here. Anyway.
Sounds like you are.
Damn it. So anyway, I didn't know this at the time, but I just see her like I'm like 5-6 beers in at this point. And I'm like, oh, sorry, I don't know why you're crying. I'm just gonna keep walking. Is there anything I could do to help right here, right now? Like, and there's nothing right I can do. And she's like, but she's a mess and stuff, and there's like snot and like tears everywhere.
Is she still cute?
She had nothing to wipe herself up with. I'm like.
This is getting more.
Yeah.
And
I have a clean pair of socks in my backpack. She's like, I'm gonna destroy them with all this, with all of this going on, and I'm like, they're yours. I will donate them to the cause of your sadness right now.
Dobby
like,
is free.
So I gave her like a clean pair of like sweat socks. And forgot about them, and then she tweeted the next day. She sent me a message the next day, being like, somewhere like stranded, like is or like stuffed into a couch is some snotty. You're snotty.
In the VIP couch.
Yeah, stuffed into one of the VIP couches.
Did you go back to find them?
No, fuck it, man. Like I'm like they were right off at that point. They're
it would
like,
be
they're,
like a geocache.
They're white snock socks.
White snock.
I have a story that can tie this back to wrestling. On Saturday, sock-related wrestling story.
All right.
On Saturday, I was in line for IWS. And I really had to go to the bathroom.
Pete in sock.
So you went in a sock?
No, I didn't go in a sock, ran to McDonald's. They buzzed me in. There was no toilet paper whatsoever, but it was too late. I was already done. Wiped my ass with a sock. Threw the sock in the garbage. Went without a sock for the rest of the night at IWS.
You got to do what you got to do.
You only wore one sock?
Well,
podcast over.
Hello.
Ding, ding, ding.
For the rest of the night, I only wore one sock. Yeah,
I would just take both.
Yeah, seriously, you got to make it consistent at that point. Yeah.
It doesn't look. My socks are pretty low. It would barely show.
Still kind of.
Still weird, dude.
Yeah, didn't feel strange. Feels like,
well, but I was like, okay, well, I was like, my foot's gonna get a little sweaty in my shoe. Why would I make both feet sweaty in the shoe?
Because then the sweat evens out.
Yeah, but then I could keep one foot comfortable.
You need to keep a consistency in the foot rod.
I'm really impressed that you were able to top my disheveled sock story.
Because now there's here's the thing, though. I was like really like debating what I do with the sock because I was like, part of me wanted to throw it in the toilet and almost certainly clog it up because they fucking buzzed me in. Like, they knew. Like, there's a process.
Who cares?
Who?
How often do you go to that McDonald's?
I don't care, but I was like, and that's
it's a dick move, though.
Yeah,
it's a dick move. But I felt that the guy that would be cleaning up the clogged toilet was the guy who was probably responsible for replacing the toilet paper.
I want to venture to say.
So I was like, I might be fucking the right guy, but I was like, I couldn't be sure.
I think if you didn't wad the sock and threw the sock in loose,
I feel like
it might have gone down.
I feel that a sock covered in shit is not meant to go through.
I feel like it might have gone
down.
Here's
what you do. You put the sock on your hand, but not on the shit side. And you put it into the bowl, and then as you flush, you withdraw very quickly. It comes right off and swooshes down in there.
Either way.
Problem solving.
It's like an alligator.
The worst part, though, is this is a thought that I had had, like, a number of times. It's like, what?
Are you guys here for the audition?
No.
No.
Nope. Oddly not.
We've actually already passed the audition, so.
We all made it.
Yep. The King of Siam. Why, that's the lead.
It's, but like anyway, so yeah, I've often thought of that scenario.
Should we
scenario,
mention
like,
where we are today to give that context?
We're recording at the lobby of the Mainline Theater.
Yes, we are.
That's where
confusing
we are.
Confusing local actors.
Exactly. Local actors have come up to
being
us now twice in less
actors.
Than 20 minutes. And
the first thing that lady asked us about made no sense.
What did she say? I couldn't hear. She was talking.
This is the fourth something or other.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's the name of the play that they're trying
maybe
to.
She was right over my head. I wasn't even paying.
What if it was the Rapture? And she thought
the other
that
thing that
was the
gets me though is that it's like we're clearly.
Do you?
I look. I feel like it looks like we're clearly recording something.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Hey, are you here for something? No, we're recording something."
It's like, no, we have like a million wires plugged into a computer, and we all have microphones around our fucking face
for the audition.
Maybe we're auditioning to be in a podcast.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Walter and I are going to be taking some time off, so you guys are actually. Auditioning right now.
Ratings are about to go up.
Take Excellent. Over.
Yeah. It couldn't possibly go down. We're actually the number three podcast in the city as voted by a Cult Montreal
True story.
Poll.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Right on.
So that's pretty cool, right?
That is pretty cool.
It is.
That means we got like all of like a dozen votes in that category.
Whoa.
We try to at least hope that our guests vote.
That's 11 more than I got.
Yeah, we'll vote for you.
You guys got a podcast?
14.
Why not?
Not yet.
Because doesn't everybody have a podcast?
Yeah, but you guys like would actually have a good one.
Well,
yeah,
we want to do a channel.
All this,
yeah, we want to do videos.
I was going to ask before, by the way, the red hand thing.
Yeah.
Is that what that symbol was on the bottom of the board for
yes.
the? Yeah, and I saw.
It's yeah. also,
that's called planting the gun.
I noticed.
Also, yeah. I actually just thought.
What's
like,
called planting the gun?
Planting
what?
The gun. I hit a gun at Heavy
Montreal.
Marketing.
It's actually,
I buried it next to your socks. The gun is next to your socks.
It's like I got my hand shoved in the couch. Like, where that fucking is that a gun?
And then you're like, I'm looking
then
for
your fingerprints are all over it. And then it's too fucking late.
You're looking for
then
a sock
Jimmy
covered
Hoffa's
in tears.
Death gets blamed on you.
Yep.
You find one covered in shit.
Yeah.
And then you find a gun, and you're like, I was just looking for a sock that
was
covered in
late
tears.
30s era Luger.
Either way, I actually didn't even – I sadly didn't see the stuff at Heavy Mania, but I just thought it was a kind of a reference to your finisher. So
It is a reference
actually.
Yeah,
exactly.
So is the Order of the Red Hand.
Exactly.
Did you notice the
name of your finisher being what again, just for the record?
The Red Hand.
There it is.
Yeah.
Did you notice the semiology of our logo? Did you try to deconstruct our logo?
Did you get it?
I like that you just said semiology. Semiology for you kids out there
hey,
is the
hashtag semiology.
The study of signs signs and symbols
yep.
for what they signify.
Yep.
And I know
it's
I did
signifiers versus signified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one talks about semiology.
Oh yeah, dude.
We are well researched.
That's amazing.
We're well versed in
semiology. I remember the first time it was introduced to me like in a college, like a CJIP class, and I'm like, what the fuck is semiology? You're making this shit up, man.
So
man.
Interesting,
like,
man. But yeah.
So the hand, the way the hand looks, you have all the fingers have represent different elements.
Five fingers make
fire.
Fist.
Water.
Five fingers make fist.
Air, earth. And in the palm, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but it was a pyramid within an eye.
I saw
that's
it.
Some reverse symbolism for you there.
Symbolism.
Symbolism.
You busted out semiology. And then
how is that now? What makes that reverse symbolism?
Because it's not an eye in a pyramid. It's a pyramid within an eye.
Nuts.
It's almost like the eye in the pyramid is kind of like a misdirection or something.
Ooh.
But anyway, I don't know anything about that.
Bam, bam, bam.
So more to come on that next year.
World star.
More to come.
More to come on the esoteric, the esoteric and the occult.
Let's just say
that through our show.
We've uncovered a lot of information.
Did you get to because you guys got awesome feedback the first time you did it last year.
Yeah.
Yep.
And now
this was a totally different game this year.
Yeah. No. Exactly. Oh, and last year was just like a tournament.
Just a wrestling show.
Oh, no, it wasn't even
bullshit
it was
wrestling.
Just a basic wrestling.
It was a
shoestring
budget. Can you do this?
We were
put you off
in the
in a
back
corner
of the.
Yeah.
Of the
I was there last year.
You guys had they had primo spot this year.
Yeah, we had a great spot. We were right in between Coca-Cola and Assassin's Creed. We
cross-promoted with Assassin's Creed. That was awesome.
Yeah, we had a couple of wrestlers go up in gear and put GoPros on their head and dive off the giant tower.
There was it was called Leap of Faith, and you could like just like dive into a
like
crash
Assassin's
pad.
Assassin's Creed, where they get, he dives into the shooter.
I did it.
It was really fun.
So
did you do backwards?
Yeah. Scary.
Like I did one of those things backwards, and I love when you fall off backwards because you're like, wee, and then your brain makes the calculation, being like, you've fallen so far that now you're dying, like, and then you have like a moment of panic, and then you hit the like,
yeah, no,
because it's like because you're like,
yeah,
it's legit like, frightening. Like,
that's every table bump you ever take. You're just like, this could go really horribly. Okay.
Yeah. Still alive.
Yeah. So, you ever taken a shitty table bump?
Yeah. Yeah, Saturday, dude.
Dude, talk about the time you almost lost your arm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a bad one, too. Oh. So,
this is my favorite part about having wrestlers.
My favorite part about the wrestlers is when they hurt themselves.
Yeah. Well, I legit almost
your
lost
part. No, seriously. That's the problem.
Year. Nope.
It was last year.
Guys, I'm talking about a possible amputation, so could you please...
Hey, but you clearly have both arms right now, so everything
sure?
was... Oh, fuck.
I can't see his left arm,
That's
Keith.
It.
Shit.
It's in my pants, but...
That's your third arm.
I took a...
Oh.
Hey-o. Baby's arm holding an apple. Mm. I took a power bomb off the top rope, threw a table to the floor last year, which is obviously a really smart thing for me to do 11 years into my career.
Who are you competing against?
I'm not going to say.
All right.
Because
fair.
It might have been under a mask.
Okay.
You might have been
it
under
It might
a
be
mask.
A secret, okay, guys?
It's a secret, but I took a table bomb.
Sure.
Okay?
Okay.
Mm. All right.
Just fucking shut up or the red hand's going to come for you, okay?
One,
oh
two,
my God.
Red hand's coming for you.
Right?
Three, four, why is his hand red?
More.
More.
Right, so you take the power bomb,
so
through
the power
table,
bomb,
through the ground.
Through the table, to the concrete, and the plastic
from
coating.
The ropes.
Well, from the top rope, yeah.
From the top rope, yeah.
Like, literally, he was standing on the top rope and I took the power bomb.
Yeah.
And,
Can we say the venue?
The bump was fine. What?
Can we say the venue?
No.
Oh,
fuck. The power. Just be involved in the moment.
All right.
Holy shit, Walter.
I want details.
So I take the power bomb, right? And the plastic coating from around the table slides into my elbow pad and slices my elbow. So I still have my elbow pad on. So it's still held together, right?
Like
so
that,
I finished the
match. The plastic kind of like ribbing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That slid underneath and sliced it open. Yeah. And it was a solid inch long. Like, I mean, you could see the scar.
I can't see it past the freckles.
Yeah, that's been a bit
of a problem. Oh, no, I see it.
That was pretty dark.
Yeah.
So I finished the match and whatever. It was all good. And we get backstage and, you know, we do our thing where we...
Inch-long gash?
It was huge. I took my elbow pad off and I just started Tarantino-ing blood everywhere.
Yeah, no shit.
And it kind of looked like I had a vaginal growth on my elbow.
Right.
My muscles had come out. And the doctor, the doctor who was there is an army medic, and he said, "Whatever you do, don't put that back in because it'll get infected." And I said, "Okay," and I stuck my arm out to give a thumbs up, and my muscles went back in.
Oh, dead.
So that was cool, but I'm a pro wrestler, you know. Whatever, I'll stay because it was a double shot weekend. And I was gonna do commentary, so hey, I'm gonna do commentary for the rest of it. So we bandaged me up, and you know, I started drinking and whatever.
As you do.
And I did commentary for the first half of the show, and then on the second half of the show, I'm giving you so many hints if you want to find this, by the way. So for the second half of the show, I was just done. So I had somebody drive me back to Montreal because I didn't want to go to an Ottawa hospital. And then drove back to Montreal.
Walter's taking notes. He's like, got it.
Well, he can listen to it back, I'm sure. Finally, somebody was listening, right? Hey-o.
Mm-hmm. One download, yeah. Walter, trying to get the details of the story.
Walter 12 times.
Yeah.
He's an idiot.
On demand. But so I went back to the hospital. They cleaned me up. They stitched me up. And
hey.
They said, "No, you're good. Don't worry about it. You're clean." So, cool. Go to work the next day. And over the course of the day, the wound had swollen up to the point where my forearm was about double its thickness. Only the forearm, unfortunately. And so I went back to the hospital, and they said they drew a pen around it where it was red. They said, "If it's past that tomorrow, you have to come back right away." Woke up in the morning, and it was like double the amount that it had been. I go to the hospital. Were you there for
me? Yep.
Yeah, you were there for that one. Yeah, so we went to go see a microbiologist. The microbiologist tells me that it's infected. I don't remember what the disease was, but basically it was like...
Possible flesh-eating bacteria.
Yes, it was
a bacteria that can morph into flesh-eating bacteria.
Yeah. And had I not gotten on IV treatments 3 times a day for 2 weeks.
He had a plug in his arm. Literally,
he had an IV
tube. The open tube.
I had a catheter, and it was covered, and I'd have to...
Gross.
I would do three times a day. I would have to slow drip antibiotics through that hole. Like, I'd have to pierce it, slow drip it in, take it out, and so for 8 days. But luckily, I got to keep my arm. But see, I was really optimistic the whole time, and you can ask him.
Yep.
I was really optimistic because I figured, look, if I lose an arm, and I'm a pro wrestler, and I lost it in a wrestling match... I mean, if Zach Gowen got the deal with the Fed, right?
I was going to say, you're going to be
I could be a one-armed wrestler. I'm pretty darn good
especially
at it.
Considering his finishers with his hand.
With my palm strike. I could have said that it was, like, corrupted by the demon or something. Could have really ran with it, dude. So, like, hey, I could have been set. I mean, Zach Gowen must make like 500 a shot on the indies. So it's a lot more than I'm making now.
You could have kept the arm too.
Also, Eddie,
kept the arm.
Eddie
like
had a taxidermy.
The guy won Big Brother one.
What?
Eddie something. The guy won Big Brother.
The first Big Brother.
The guy won the first Big Brother, a.k.a. the
that
real Big Brother.
Leg, I believe.
Because it was real Big Brother because people voted the viewers voted people out.
Wasn't just a setup, just like every other reality show.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure it was still a setup.
It was probably just
I mean,
a setup.
TV
but, it, but, it, but it was a lot more legit because it was it's a real popularity contest.
Too legit?
To me, it's a funner show to watch.
Did they
I
quit?
Said funner.
I like the works. We watch.
You like
Red
the work
Neck
reality
Island.
Shows?
You ever seen
Redneck
Red
Island?
Stone Cold Show?
I keep hearing him talk about it. But
it's
I
such a good time.
Is it funny?
It's hilarious, man. And not in the good way.
What's
it's
it called?
It's Redneck so Island. Bad. It's like
what's,
such
what's,
a work.
Why is it bad?
Okay, so it's Survivor.
How
right?
much like The Condemned is it?
No, it's not The Condemned.
Damn it.
Like every single quote unquote, I'm doing the air quotes here like a douchebag. Redneck on the island has a gimmick. So you have the smart redneck and the wise old redneck and the dumb blonde and the all-American boy and the fat guy and the alcoholic. And they all have a specific redneck gimmick. And Stone Cold Steve Austin is the Jeff Probst like character. And he
right.
makes fun of them and it's awesome. And they do like redneck challenges and eat redneck food.
I'd heard him talk about it today. I was listening to the two-part Foley podcast. He was saying the same about the Skull Buster challenge.
Oh, no, that's the new one.
That's the new
one.
That's Broken Skull Challenge,
dude. That's Ninja Warrior when Stone Cold Steve Austin sat down. He was watching Ninja Warrior and he's like, I could do that in my backyard. I'll just take some rope, take some wood, and I could do that whole thing here.
What? Wait.
He probably spent $1,000 on the whole course.
You know what Ninja Warrior is, right?
You've never seen Ninja
it's
Warrior?
It's where they train people to be ninjas. Right?
It's like a whole tournament thing. They have to use their hands to climb up walls.
Redneck Island
like...
was on. Were they both on CMT
yes.
though?
Yeah, they're both on CMT.
Yeah. Redneck Island
Redneck
is
Island
finished
had,
now.
Yeah, had two seasons.
Of course they are.
Oh no, three seasons I think.
Yeah,
two or three seasons. Another in the first season of Broken Skull Challenge, which is essentially this ridiculous redneck obstacle course that people compete in, and then there's one winner, and the winner gets to take on the Skull Buster, which is Stone Cold Steve Austin's personal junk scrapyard obstacle course.
If I didn't listen to Stone Cold's podcast and hear him talking about this shit, it would be completely off my radar.
Yeah.
I don't see ads for it anywhere.
You don't watch CMT.
Wait, how much CMT do you watch?
No, but it's not just a CMT issue, though. Like sometimes you hear about shows like
Reba.
That are on other network. What?
Like Reba.
Reba
with CMT.
Like Reba.
Well, what about...
I like her, though.
What about Off the Grid with Jesse Ventura?
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that, actually.
I've watched one episode of that.
I watched Shawn Michaels' Haunting Show.
I thought you said the Shawn Michaels Haunting Show.
That'd be amazing, too. Shawn Michaels looking for ghosts. I mean, he did team with God once, so maybe he could find him there.
It's just nonstop that mirror, the mirror trick that Warrior did.
The God thing? No, it was just the spotlight.
No. When Warrior showed up in the mirror.
And only Hulk
Hogan. You just can't have an exorcism without the kid.
Only Hulk Hogan. And millions of people watching
yes.
could see Warrior.
Well,
nobody else could see
cameras,
Warrior.
Cameras show...
Ghosts.
Yeah, that's right. That's why we have paranormal activity movies and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because even though you can't see it, the camera will show up.
Yeah, well,
show up on camera.
I didn't understand why the cameraman didn't speak up.
I believe it's because it's an ancient native tradition of, pictures taking your soul.
Okay.
So likewise, pictures can see souls.
But the cameraman didn't... But I figured, now that I say it, though, the cameraman absolutely...
No, they just left the camera in the room.
No, he was moving. He walked in.
By the way, it's not a tradition, it's a belief.
Either way,
it's like standing around taking pictures of people being.
I feel that the contract was so ironclad. The contract of the cameraman was so ironclad that he couldn't.
NPC man.
Exactly.
That's it.
He was a non performing character.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. He's just not involved.
Exactly. He's not.
He's a fly on the wall.
It's like, do you remember that show?
Snap, Kid.
The one where they put a bunch of kids in a town.
Kid Snaps.
Kids in the Town.
Yeah, they put a bunch of children. They call
snappy,
it like
snappy
Kid
town.
Village or something.
Kid Village?
Yeah.
Are you sure this is a movie that we would have seen? Or
is
this your own personal collection?
Is it Maniac Mansion?
It's a reality show where they put a bunch of kids
in this
town. You
guys remember Maniac Mansion?
This sounds like just something you're watching with a priest.
Yeah. Anyway, one of the there was a big Kid Nation was the name of the fucking show.
No
one has
ever seen that.
Kid Nation was like in the mid-2000s.
Nope.
It was basically like Survivor, but with like 20 kids, but
wrong.
Nobody got to vote.
Oh wait, I've actually seen.
Nobody
this.
Got voted out. It was, but every week kids could leave if they just fucking.
I want to go home.
Pretty much, exactly.
Tired. I want to be on that show.
That was so sad. They only ran one thing. There was a lot of kids crying, a lot of kids fighting. Like they had like a chicken coop, and then they were like at one point they were only eating like fucking rice and stuff, and some of the older kids were like, we can kill the chickens. So, like, hearing, like, a little town council meeting of the oldest being 13, the youngest being 6, about, like, are we going to kill a chicken? And then they kill a chicken, and you're like, yeah!
Kids well, you know what? It depends on what right kind there of kid it is, because I had my kids kill chicken cousin. They huh? my, yeah. my
Well, one of them was
uncle,
like a farm kid, and he was like, I can do this.
Yeah, my uncle had rabbits on the farm. They had yeah. 3 daughters, and the middle one, like all the youngest and the oldest, they loved the bunnies. They used to hang out with the bunnies. They played with the bunnies. They named the bunnies. The middle one was like clearly understood, this is food. Oh, it's time for dinner. Grab a bunny, break its neck. Here you go. Chop it.
Blood
orgies. It was like, no. It was like, this is food. This is not
yeah,
an
exactly.
animal. So it depends on the kid, right?
But that's it. But like some of the kids could clearly do it and knew what they were doing. They were like, look, I work on a farm or whatever. But then some of the kids are little princess kids who are like, no, you're going to kill the chickens. And like one of them like locked herself in the chicken coop with the chickens to like try to prevent.
Who's great. The real animal then?
I kind of want to watch this show now.
You should.
This sounds
it's pretty good.
Sounds pretty interesting.
Anyway, something that's not on the show but did happen and so apparently was a major factor in why they never got a second season is one of the kids drank bleach and the fucking cameraman didn't stop him because he wasn't allowed because of his contract.
Oh, wow.
Why did a kid drink bleach?
Because kids are fucking point? Idiots. They yeah. were just like, they were like dicking around.
And the cameraman just sit there videotaped the, oh, okay, you know what? There's a certain responsibility at a certain point.
I fully agree with you. And
why
I'm like,
why did a kid drink bleach though?
Because the kid's a fucking dumbass. Is like,
what, like, dude, was he trying to get high? Or?
Maybe. Like, who the fuck knows?
Maybe he was racist and wanted his insides to be white.
Or maybe he was fucking thirsty because they put fucking 20 children unattended in a town. Like,
you know? Well, clearly they were attended, just nobody cared.
Yeah, exactly. There were cameramen who didn't talk to them and ignored their existence.
Maybe they were doing it as a test of the cameraman. They're like, I wonder if the cameraman
hey, are
will
you
stop
gonna
me.
Stop me?
Yeah, exactly. The cameraman's like, nope, I signed a contract.
No, you don't see what it is. The real reality show was on the cameraman.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
he was the
failed.
Real focus.
Jail time for
he
that guy.
It saying. Was like a Saw
yeah.
scenario.
Yeah.
And then now that guy needs to drink bleach, and now he's dead because Jigsaw right. killed him.
Yeah. Jigsaw.
Anyway, watch the show Kid Nation. It's from 10 years ago. Super current.
So speaking of things that are current, let's head back to the wrestling era since that's why we're here. So we just recently had IWS.
Consummate
years.
Professional. Shane
yes.
Rock.
That's me.
Yeah.
You gentlemen were there, I believe.
Yeah.
I was there.
I was there with one sock.
You were there with one sock. And
I was there when my voice sounded better than it does right now.
Right.
But it's still better than it was yesterday.
Yeah. Wally threw it out at the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Wally,
I heard Wally, you, man. You Wally, were
I, do. I threw it out after the first fucking segment. Like,
yeah. Yeah. The trick
was
is
a
to
hardcore
speak in
match
a really low voice.
Threw your voice
I'm
out.
Not, slow.
Not slow, like low. Like low.
Slowly,
I was
slowly
I was
picking this up.
Yeah.
I was asking Beef for pointers.
Beef doesn't know.
He threw his voice out at heavy.
Exactly.
Yeah, at watching fucking the Metallics.
Thing. Yeah. Like yeah. I do the live PA announcing for the Montreal Roller Derby League, and it isn't like if I'm not drunk, I can like yell my ass off and keep my voice together because you keep it like in the baritone. If I'm drunk, I'm like
I wasn't
and
drunk at all. I was so I was
gone.
Still fucking sober, dude.
Drunk yeah. on life.
But exactly. But as soon as, even if you know, like, to try to not lose your voice, if you're drunk and you forget to do it and you just start screaming, as you might have been at Heavy Mania.
It's a great event, yeah. though.
You know, it was a great event. I was really happy with how IWS went.
Mr. Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah, Tommy Dreamer. Wow.
I heard you got, he spoke with you.
He did speak with me.
You dared look him directly in the eye.
I shook his hand. And
there
he
is.
I said, very nice to meet you. And I was just, you know, being
like,
on my
why
way.
Why is your hand so goddamn red?
Well, no. He asked why it was so moist. And I don't like that word, so we got into a fist fight. But when we settled down, no, Tommy gave me some really good advice, and I'll actually share it on the air right now because it's kind of neat. He said that Pinky and I had worked our asses off. He disagreed with our placement on the card, but that was his opinion. And
because you guys were the curtain jerkers.
Yeah, we were the first match, and we went out there and killed it. And
yeah, but
that's an IWS thing.
But there is something to be said about that. I think that
that's
not
an
just IWS,
IWS
even
captures people's
well,
attention.
Thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's
of
it.
Course.
No, but like, that's what I'm saying.
You
it's
start
like,
with a bang, right? You draw people in. You make a really loud noise, and then they're paying attention.
Yeah.
But so I understand that kind of booking style. Tommy's a bit more old school, and he mentioned that Pinky and I had done 3 different forearm spots in the match, where I had seen it as telling the story of bookending the match, where we were just so even that we continuously came back to blows because even our moves weren't working, so we were just trying to beat each other. No?
Right.
And I think that translated pretty well, especially with all the chops and all the, like, the stiff strikes and stuff.
Yeah.
But Tommy said to me, you know, that we didn't get as good of a reaction on the third one as we did on the first one, which is absolutely true. And he said, well, the analogy he used was when you're fingering a girl. He just said, I don't know if you're into girls or guys, but whatever that is, that's okay. And I thought that was very nice of him to be progressive, but nevertheless, just confirming, it is the girls. But I think. But he said, when you're fingering a girl, then you start fucking her, you don't pull out and then just go back to lightly fingering her again. Now, in my experience, this can happen. It has happened. It can be effective. But I understood the analogy.
You can fuck her and finger at the same time.
Well, I mean, if you go back to eating her out, you know. But like, yeah. But I understood the analogy. If you don't go back to foreplay once you've gotten to the hot and heavy.
Exactly. If you do go back to fingering, it's not the way you were fingering before.
Exactly. You have to add like,
oh, yeah.
Like,
that's
like
fisting.
The Costanza movement or whatever it is, yeah. You know.
Or at least curl your fingers.
Yeah, there's something along the side of those kinds of things. So I thought that analogy actually made a lot of sense. And what really struck me as funny about it is that so many of the veterans that I've spoken to in wrestling have – delivered their story sermons through sexual analogies.
Do you want to tell the story about Bob Saget?
Relatable.
No, I don't want to tell that story. That stays in the backstage.
Okay.
That stays in the backstage.
Now we desperately want to hear it.
Yeah.
After the podcast.
After the podcast.
But yeah, no, I mean, I guess that makes sense, though, because especially, like, if you're – not to say everybody has sex, though, and especially if you're, like, meeting a guy that you don't really know for the first time, you're traveling, you don't know necessarily what walk of life he's from, you don't know – if he's fucking rich, if he's poor, if he's a gym rat, or whatever the fuck got him into wrestling, but he probably had sex.
Most wrestlers are pretty...
As a matter of fact, no, Matt Novak on the IWS roster is a virgin.
Shit.
I'm telling it on the air.
Are you,
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
I was like, are you going to be feuding with Matt
Novak?
You
seem very comfortable with throwing that out there.
I don't care.
Is he one of the guys in the four-way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great
kid.
All four of those guys, man. So much talent.
I
mean, Adam Sky does do all of my moves.
Yeah, there was Adam Sky, who is a ginger.
He's mini Shane Hawk.
Okay.
Yeah. Except
there was Leto.
Liam Leto.
Yeah, he's the one with all the tats.
Yeah, the tats.
Then there was
a bald guy.
Yeah, that's Brandon O'Connor, otherwise known as Stifler.
Okay, so I know. All right.
He's great. Yeah.
So then the other one
is Matt Novak. He had the pink armbands.
And he had
he's not a bad looking guy.
He's a great looking kid.
Yeah. But he also had a lot.
How old are
good,
those guys though?
21 or so, 22.
Crowd. I don't know if he was just like his friends or.
Whatever. No. Those
but
kids
he, like,
are
a
just,
lot of people were there.
They're really hungry, and it really shows in their work, you know. And
no, no, the crowd reaction.
No, I know.
Good for Novak.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Oh, he's a great kid. I think he's just waiting for somebody special, and I kind of respect that. I mean,
good for him.
I'm kind of a scumbag, but
you should read the article about how not to absolutely wait.
What?
There's like a big article about this Christian girl that waited, and she was like, it almost ruined my fucking marriage. Like,
oh, really?
I waited, yeah. Not because the sex was bad, but she's like, because she waited so long that it became part of her identity. Like being a virgin became part of her identity.
Right, right.
Because it's like, I'm so and so. I'm a virgin. I'm waiting, and that becomes part of you. And then when that goes away, you know, there's like a hole in your identity.
No, there's a hole in your legs.
Exactly. Zing. Anyway, but I thought it was kind of interesting from like a psychological perspective of just like,
maybe.
If you hold on to it too long, it becomes part of you, and then it's gone, and you're like, wait.
Part of me says, okay, but the other part of me, as a veteran in the locker room, just needs to get him laid.
Right.
Because we're pigs, and we're wrestlers.
Do it.
Yeah, you know. Walter's not chiming in here.
Walter's also waiting till marriage. He's getting married in a month.
I'm getting married month
like
and
6 weeks.
Half.
Wow.
6 weeks, yeah. Something like that.
I guess my invite got lost in the mail, huh?
Oh, shit.
Called out, bro.
I really
after
was...
After party?
After party.
The actual, the fun
drinks
part
on
of the
you.
Wedding?
The after party at my girlfriend's empty...
At
my girlfriend's parents' empty house.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, exactly.
Huh?
We're going to set up a ring in the backyard.
Are you?
No.
Supply it?
Well, supply there's like
I could make it happen.
Can you make it happen?
Supplying
can
it on the
you, if you can give us the funds.
Yeah, no, but that's what I'm saying. I was like, when you think about when
can
you
give
think,
me a deal,
when you think about
you a deal.
The budget of a wedding, I feel that you wouldn't be expanding it that much by
you
having some live wrestling.
$500.
Yeah.
My credit card.
Well, there's like, here's my credit card. Make it happen.
Just take it.
I mean, there are other things involved, like certain wrestlers, you know, need to have donkeys and cocaine backstage, but those are just part
of it. No, but those are there anyway. It's a wedding.
Yeah.
Come on now.
That's it. But then, so we had Battle War the next day.
Yeah.
We had the Battle War Block Party.
Battle War Block Party. By the way, why isn't there barbecue at that?
I don't know. You know, we used to go to hip hop karaoke around the area, and they used to have barbecue, like, right there at the show, and that was awesome. Mm-hmm. They would have, like,
I really feel like there should have been, like, just a little, like, hot dogs, maybe.
With Giant Tiger there.
Yeah, I was going to say, it also helps that a Battle War storyline has revolved around a barbecue.
I don't know if Fuchs has a food license.
An outdoor...
Right.
No, but they must have had, because then they had Pipeline, right?
I think you're onto something. They may not have the ability to sell food.
Because remember when there was Pipeline?
That restaurant isn't there anymore. That restaurant hasn't been there forever.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, why would that license have expired?
Why? Because licenses expire?
Yeah.
Every year.
But then how do they do, like, fucking... I'm sure you get a... I don't know. Maybe it might not have been first, but you probably could have gotten a temporary one because, like, they sell hot dogs and shit at, like, tent stuff, like street festivals.
Maybe it just wasn't worth it.
Maybe.
Yeah. Just go across the street to C-PAN. Man up.
What I'm saying is next year at Battle War, just fucking call one of the food trucks and the food truck can park in front.
All right, you can do that.
I'm going to do
that.
Here's
what we're going to do. I'm
gonna food truck.
I'll get Walter a ring. You get me a food truck.
I'll do the food.
Spencer, you get him...
I'm pretty handy in the food department.
I don't know.
Pretty handsy with the food.
Get some
me,
kind of
get
some
me
kind
Kid
of weird,
Nation DVD
yeah.
box set.
That's it.
I will call up my cousin who runs a food truck.
It's actually more like a dirty VHS, I'm sure. Not even on DVD.
No, it's been pretty sure 10 years ago it was still DVD.
No, not this kind of DVD.
No, but they never released it on DVD, so it's just someone taped it.
Yeah,
it's just like,
exactly.
There you go.
It was a VCD. Or VCDs?
JCVD?
No, VCDs. JCV. Video CDs.
Can you put Does Jean-Claude Van Damme play movies?
You remember Laserdiscs?
JCVD.
You get them in Chinatown and stuff. Yeah, they were like in just like envelopes and stuff. Like,
oh, yes. Yes,
CDs, man.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
So, Walter, we're going to be heading into 5 questions soon. Do you want to get more wrestling questions in before we alternate?
Did you party with Dreamer afterwards?
Nah, man. We just took off.
You took off?
I could tell you a nice a little interesting party story. It's not really a party story, but a nice party that I considered a party. Anyway, I'm just going to start talking about it because my segue is terrible.
Go for it.
Admittedly.
So, like a couple of weeks ago, I did about four shows in 2 weeks in Quebec towns. And Quebec City, for some reason, had this giant Western festival over the course of like a month.
And wait, where were you?
Nashville, Quebec. Because they renamed their city Nashville,
was
Quebec,
it,
for 2 weeks.
Were you near St. Tit?
St. Tit?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
like in St. Andre de Beauce.
Was there a rodeo at all?
There was tons of rodeos.
Yeah.
No, but it was four different towns, all like 2 hours away from each other.
Yeah, I bet you were close
to
St. Tit.
Because anyway. they brought their rodeo to Montreal 1 year, and it didn't really go over very well.
I thought it was great.
There wasn't a really big turnout.
I should have hired Juvenile to present it.
So go on.
Yeah, so there I am, walking in Nashville, Quebec, with my tag team partner Stu Corvus, independent wrestler Chris Cruz, and Joey Ryan, who you might know from TNA and WWE and PWG and
yes.
stuff. Because he was on the show for some reason.
money, I feel.
Yeah, well, obviously. But
of all the places for him to be.
Like, it's Nashville, Quebec, right?
Yeah.
And
is it really called Nashville, Quebec?
That they renamed their town. Christ. I'm not kidding. And we were walking through this whole festival, and there's just very, very Tennessee feel to everything, Memphis kind of feel to it, but everyone is speaking the most accented Quebecois you could possibly think of, but saying words like y'all. So they're putting on a distinct southern flair to their Quebecois-joual.
Right.
So it was just one of the most surreal experiences I ever had in my life, and I saw something that I'd never seen before, and I don't think anybody's ever seen, unless you go to these Western festivals, is that they have this giant pitch where you can do horsey rides, you know?
Sure.
And, but they're, like, in this, like, I don't know, Coliseum, like medieval time style pitch with bleachers all around.
Somebody wrestled a horse?
What? No, nobody wrestled a horse, but every so often they would lead the horses out, and there would be this, like, giant tractor that would come in with this apparatus I had never seen before, and it would Zamboni the pitch.
Oh, so like the shit.
Yeah, so they had a horse Zamboni. They would redo the pitch, and then the horse.
Like,
would
are
come
you
back.
Saying it smoothed out the shit?
Yes.
And made it.
Yes.
What?
Leveled it. Yeah.
I'm telling you, they remade the ice out of shit and dirt every single time.
I thought you meant they were like it scooped up the
no,
shit.
No. I mean, it smoothed it all
out. Oh my god.
And
fertilizer, man.
It was crazy that the like I've seen real Zambonis, but never a horse Zamboni.
Shit Zamboni.
Ship zombie.
Shit bony.
Sounds like shit zombie.
Zamboni.
And this is a party how?
Poop bony.
Oh, that was just a party to me watching the shit gets
blown. Oh, okay, I got it.
I mean, I don't get out much.
You know, so. I'm usually wrestling.
No, I think that's where that story was going.
Yeah.
It's
damn
shit bony.
So, well, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, damn shit.
It's weird.
Do you want any 5 questions?
Let's do 5 questions.
All right, I got to find them.
What are the questions?
Number one.
Oh, fuck.
Are you guys each want to give your own answer?
Yeah.
Or, yeah,
sure.
All right.
But question.
We're heterosexual life mates. We don't speak to each other.
First.
Question the first. What did you want to be when you grew up?
Seriously?
Yep. We ask the same question to every guest.
Oh, really?
There's three consistent questions.
Yeah.
One question from the last guest, which is it the Morgans?
Yeah.
Nice.
Do you remember?
Yeah. And then question five is you guys get to come up with a question for the next guest.
Okay.
All right.
Cool.
Question the first.
Yeah.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
Champion of WWE, man.
There you go.
Yeah. WWF.
At the time.
Yeah.
There was too many things that I could name that I wanted to be when I grew up. But just one? The most consistent one was porn star.
Like even like...
Eight-year-old? Like when he was five.
Pre-10 years old.
Like. Spencer's really on a circuit of the brain that's sex related.
I'm way too... Yeah. I'm hypersexual and yeah. Seriously. My whole mission in life was just to have sex with as many beautiful women as possible.
All right.
Mission accomplished.
I have a really weird...
Even when I was five, seriously.
Yeah.
Now that you've opened up the door, I'm going to...
Sure.
Literally.
Oh.
Opened up the door.
Do you remember having super weird sex dreams when you were like seven and having no idea what they meant? You were just like a big titty.
No, because he was already jerking off.
No, I lost my virginity. Lost my virginity, quote, end quote. I stuck my penis in a girl's vagina when I was 4 years old.
Okay.
It felt great.
Got an erection. It was on this TV show. What was it called? They go to this town.
Four and pregnant.
Well,
there's
kid
no pregnancy,
what?
But it, no, that's how kind of how I discovered sex was playing doctor, and I stuck my penis in a girl's vagina when I was 4 years old, and I became obsessed with sex from fucking that moment
kid
on.
Kid Nation, man.
It's turning to a giant tiger podcast here.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Either way, I was just
saying. I never claimed to be a role model, man.
I never claimed to be a role model.
Natalie Portman.
Right. Yeah.
All right, so porn star and WWF champion.
Yeah.
Nice. Did you have in your head? Did you know who you were going to take it off of?
No, but I mean, everybody was going to lie down for me, right? I really like Shawn Michaels. He didn't do any jobs, so why should I?
All right. Without thinking too much, who is the greatest person of all time?
The greatest person of all time?
Yeah. Don't think too much.
J.R. Bob Dobb Hobbs.
J.R. Bob Dobb Hobbs.
J.R. Bob Dobbs.
Robert Anton Wilson.
There you go. Hobbs isn't actually part of it. I just like adding that because it rhymes. J.R. Bob Dobbs.
Who is this?
He is the patron saint of the Church of the Subgenius.
Okay.
Walter, you might know what that is.
Yeah, you do.
I actually have the book with me. He is the ultimate slack master who is here to return slack upon us from which the conspiracy took from us. He is the ultimate salesman. He is the coming of the second. He is the prophet of the one true religion, and he is the ultimate failure. And the best part about Bob is that he tries so little at everything that he's just very successful at everything.
Just want to show you, out of nowhere.
Yeah, sure.
Check out what I was invited to play tonight.
Illuminati tonight.
Boom.
Yeah.
There you go.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah. So
and I can't make it.
Yeah. J.R. Bob Dobbs.
Yeah.
The infinite slack master.
And yours was?
Robert Anton Wilson.
That's a good one,
who
too.
Who is a co-founder of Discordianism.
Oh,
yes.
Man.
Discordianism is
chaotic,
he
wrote about
Khaleesi and the Golden
He's
Apple.
He's a co-founder. Oh, he is.
I don't think he co-founded
oh, yes,
it.
Yes, he did.
No.
It's very.
See, I don't.
I'm
I
pretty sure
think
Omar Ravenhurst and that other dude did, and then Robert Anthony Wilson joined.
I know
after.
So little about
well,
these
anyway,
actual
he,
organizations. Like, I know
oh,
very
Discordianism
little.
Is great.
That's exactly
I
the
know
point.
Of them. Yeah.
Spencer and I are both Discordians.
There's nothing to know. You know. I mean, there's everything to know, and there's nothing to know.
I used to have a book of
Discordianism. There's no consistent in Discordianism, and that's why it's great.
It's the best.
If you want a good insight to Discordianism, check out Illuminatus, the Illuminatus trilogy by Robert Anton Wilson.
That's hard to read, though. I would say check out the actual Book of Discord. You can actually get through
it.
The Principia Discordia
is really good too.
Like
Cosmic Triggers, awesome.
Quantum Psychology.
No. Schrodinger's Cat is great, and the other one that I keep thinking about, Prometheus Rising.
Prometheus Rising changed my life.
Yeah.
You should definitely read
Illuminatus
it.
Is hard to get through, though. Like,
yeah, but you just got to get in. You smoke a bunch of weed. You get in
possibly
the mind
drop
state.
Acid.
I don't know about acid.
I definitely feel like they were doing it when
oh,
they wrote
definitely.
It.
Oh, definitely. Sure. Admit it. No, peyote, actually.
Yeah, okay, peyote.
A lot of peyote.
By the way, Robert Anton Wilson is a patron saint in the Church
of
the Subgenius.
And I'm actually a pope of
I am also a pope of Discordianism.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel that's pretty easy.
And
to
Spectacles,
get.
Testicles, Brandy Cigar, you guys are now both popes of Discordianism.
There you go.
You're both popes.
Just saying, I feel that I've been a pope
you are
for
now
a while.
Absolutely
we just ordained
infallible. Absolutely infallible.
And nobody can question it.
Nobody. Did it.
Exactly.
Did it.
Yeah. And
this has been the best podcast ever.
The best part about the Illuminatus trilogy is like whenever they seem to like hit a plot that they're not sure of how to go over, they just have a really long, explicit sex scene.
Change dimensions.
Like, no, change
timeline.
Schrodinger's Cat.
No.
Yeah, that's like the plot of Schrodinger's Cat.
I know, but they change dimensions and
Illuminatus. But
Illuminatus in the third book, it's like, whoa.
Whoa.
Why do they chop like that except for that one?
Because it's just the visualization, dude. It's just, all it's right. Fine. When I pause, they're not chopped.
Dude, all it's right. Fine.
What is the worst fashion choice you've ever made?
Question three.
The worst fashion choice I ever made. And that was the one that somebody else thought of?
No. We asked this to everybody.
Apart from right now, of course.
I guess, yeah, being here would be a pretty poor choice. But
oh, fuck. You're easily the 10th person to make that choice.
Really?
No. Second, at least. Though.
Well, hey.
I remember Morgan made it. Morgan made that exact joke.
Well, maybe you guys should stop opening it up.
Fuck!
I think that the worst fashion choice I ever made was when I was around 12, the Backstreet Boys were real popular, and I decided to get the Nick Carter mushroom cut.
Ooh.
Nice.
And trust me. Also, my hair isn't straight by any means. It's long and wavy. Nice. So, like, one bent one way and the other bent the other way, and it just looked like a mess. And
did you get any playground play from it? Or?
Any playground play?
Pray.
No, I did not stick my penis into a vagina until I was 17 years old. Oh. I waited much longer than Jack here.
Yeah. Jack, same question?
Yeah.
With Nick Carter mushroom cut?
No, he threw me off with the haircut. Now I want to say haircut. I honestly have no fashion sense at all, so it would be very difficult for me to decide that. But the one that I regretted the most. Right now. I'm also mildly colorblind, so I. You know, people tell me what the fuck's going on with your get up most.
The nice red shirt you're wearing right now.
Those white jeans you rocked for a while were pretty bad.
Oh, the white jeans were really bad, yeah. And I wore those in India, and that was pretty bad. I think the one I regretted the most was getting a faux hawk for a girl that I was dating at the time. I felt like such a tool, and it was so not me, and I fucking hate. I looked at myself in the mirror, and I hated myself every moment.
But you did get playground play from that, though.
Oh, I got all kinds of.
I did a terrible faux hawk for a while.
Actually, can I add an amendment to my.
I mean, it was worth it in the end, I guess, kind of, but I felt like such a tool that I regretted it.
I would just like to throw out.
If you looked
also,
in the mirror, you got bummed while you're fucking her. Oh, you're oh God. Why?
I am such a.
So, Jack here, Jack received a t-shirt that his girlfriend would not let him wear. So he gave it to our friend Carl. Oh, no, sorry. Our friend Carl received the shirt that his girlfriend would not let him wear. So he gave it to Jack. Jack's girlfriend would not let him wear it. And I am permanently single, so he gave it to me. And I decided to wear it to a wrestling show. Now, this t-shirt is a picture of Adolf Hitler sunbathing nude on a beach upside down, like the Coppertone kid. And on the bottom, in the Coca-Cola font, it says, Holiday. And so I was working a show in Greeley, Ontario, and Colt Cabana just happened to be on
that
it.
Show.
Yeah, so I
was
wore
that
the yeah. So I decided to wear that shirt because I had forgotten my gear back at home. So I wore that shirt. Oh no, I think,
that
no.
is not the reason why you decided to wear that shirt. You wanted to wear that shirt and you wanted to wear.
I know,
that
but
shirt,
I had jeans. I wore jeans and like Bucks Belmar's boots and stuff because I was teaming with him because we were the Shithawks. And
checks out.
Yeah. So I remember. So I was wearing this Hitler T-shirt, and I was looking at the curtain. I turned back around, and Colt was sitting there and looked at me, and he was just so, disappointed, disgusted, just dismissive, all sorts of D words. Where
you
he just was unimpressed.
Him?
I had met him previously, but I mean, he doesn't remember.
Not
who
enough
I am.
That you could pass that T-shirt. Off
yeah.
As,
no.
As
so
as
I turned around and I kind of shrugged. And, like, did the Jewish symbol where you make the Illuminati symbol and just go upside down really quickly so it looks like a Star of David. He didn't get it.
Does anybody get that?
No,
okay.
Not really.
But he did
I
that.
Get it.
I was like, oh, I did not know that was a thing.
No, well, there's, like, does it get you discounts at places?
It's not a thing.
It's a secret symbol, guys. Look, obviously, I know a lot more about esotericism than you two.
You make the 5-point star, 6-point star.
Yeah.
By
waving triangles.
Yes, by waving triangles upside down.
I see it.
There you go. Right? It's like a kaleidoscope of vaginal-looking hand signals.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what's number four? Now off the Hitler topic. By the way, just one last thing about Hitler. Nice try, Adolf.
Oh, you're still here.
That's an inside joke.
Yeah.
Well, you're
we were really drunk.
It doesn't even need to be that inside. You're like, if Adolf was successful, we wouldn't have superstar Shane Hawk, right?
Yeah.
Realistically. Walter, do you remember Morgan's question?
Oh, yeah. Well, which version are we asking?
The one that I have written down is, alive or dead, whose asshole would you like to lick?
Alive or dead?
Or dead.
Do I have to only pick one?
Shit, why not? I don't care.
You could pick both if you wanted.
Oh, man.
Does that mean, like, the same person you would do it alive and dead, or...
can the person be, like, dead now but alive when I lick their ass?
That's an interesting interpretation.
Sure.
Yeah?
Sure, but yes to you, but no to you.
Oh.
Okay.
So yes to Shane... You can lick the person, but no to Dave.
Jack.
Jack.
Jack. Fuck, too many names.
Dave's not here, man.
Spencer.
Jack Spencer Donovan. My middle name is Spencer. Yeah. My first name is Jack. People call me Spence, but it's Jack.
Dave Jack Spencer.
I have no idea where Dave came from.
It's purposefully confusing.
Dave Jack.
Fuck.
All right, so whose asshole do
pretty,
I want
I'm pretty
to
sure that? I'm a Pope of Discordianism, so I did not
you
fuck that
pope.
Up.
You are a Pope.
I feel like
you
got
are
that
infallible.
Completely
sorry,
right.
Now, see, this is a thought-provoking question, because now, given the chance to lick any asshole, am I brown-nosing a superior that might get me into a millionaire's position, or am I brown-nosing a supermodel that I've always wanted to bed?
You're not brown-nosing, you're licking their asshole.
Yeah, I know, so am I rusty tromboning, either way. Yeah. Am I hungry? Am I trying to, like, cannibalize their
this
butt?
Is, you're bringing all of this to the table. You got to, like, you got to narrow it down.
I know, but
like,
there's a lot to think about.
Listen,
okay,
like,
Jack,
you
go first.
Like, you could
okay.
be like, I'm going to, like, X celebrity's asshole and tape it and then release the sex tape become a million.
So I could have any kind of scenario I want as long as there's asshole looking
as long
involved.
As you're looking.
Remember
at
how much
okay.
you thought about who the best person in the world was? I feel like you should have thought less about this one.
I feel like you have your priorities mistaken, sir, if you want to have an entertaining podcast. Jack?
Okay. I would lick Shakira's asshole. I am fucking in
really?
Love. Oh, my God. Have you seen her dance? Holy shit.
Have you seen the article online that probably is fake where she said she'd rather have sex with a pig and shit than fuck a Jew?
Well, I'm not Jewish, so.
You're a racist.
Now dead.
Dead?
Oh, you have to do
I
one
would,
of both.
Oh,
I'm
going to
do now. Now
oh,
I
and dead. Oh.
And dead. And now we're talking about an actual corpse.
An okay. actual corpse.
You can film it, though, if you want to.
See, I like... I can't even think of anybody who's dead. I, don't
I got a dead one.
Hitler.
No. No.
Robert Anton Wilson.
There you go.
There you go.
His ass. Here,
you there go. You go. He's dead. Works awesome.
Are we licking in the hole or just part of the butt?
Asshole.
You're getting right in there.
You're getting like just diving in.
Yeah. you're diving in
all right,
there.
Well, dead?
For sure, I would lick Katie Vick's ass.
Katie Vick?
There it is. Katie Vick. Yeah.
She's part of wrestling history.
And,
and living, somebody alive right now.
Yeah.
Me.
No.
Nope.
No. See, I want to say Alison Brie, but at the same time, I have this image of her as Annie in Community in my head that's just so wholesome and innocent and just makes me feel good about myself.
But you can't?
I just...
It's kind of the best reason. Though.
Yeah.
Walter, your mic is so
I don't
want to
ruin her.
Here's your answer.
I don't want to have my savage, slobbery face all over her nether yaya.
Also, whatever you say, it's going to become the quote for this podcast. It's going to be Shane Hawk wants to lick blank's asshole.
Yeah, we can go with Alison Brie, I guess. I mean, there
are worse things to be quoted as. She's beautiful. On the long
and
shot, she ever hears this, I'm proposing.
And
really good at licking ass, apparently.
Exactly.
So.
Barring that, Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
Hey, why not?
All right.
Oh, boy.
Now you guys get to come up with a question for the next guest.
We get to come up with a question.
For you
Do we
guys?
Each get one?
No, no, it's not for us. We'll probably answer it.
For the next guest?
For the next guest. You're asking a question through time to our
Whoa.
Next guest. We don't know
it's
who it is,
It's a lot
though.
Of pressure.
Isn't it cool? Humans can time travel.
Yeah. Thanks to the power of the internet.
Through time delay.
Yeah. All right, so we have to ask a question.
Do we each get one?
Do we each get one?
You guys got to come up with one.
Okay, what if you could kill somebody, who would it be?
If you could kill somebody, who could it be?
No, I want to know. I want
to Okay, but wait. Let's do, if you could kill somebody, who would it be, how, and why?
Ooh, I like that.
All right, I think we could take a three-parter.
Okay.
Yeah?
I have some clarifications. Is that do you have to deal with the consequences of killing?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
No, what do you mean? It does absolutely matter.
It matters.
Is
Listen
it a scar?
All the
but that's the how. that's the how. Is how you do it, you might get away with it, right?
Because
so.
You could also want to get caught, right?
You might.
Yeah, you want maybe like you'd want to be the person
you
that
be
killed.
An assassin. You want to be a new Lee Harvey Oswald.
You'd get super famous if you killed somebody super
Who would
famous.
You kill, how, and why?
And they have to be super famous.
Yeah. They don't have to be super famous. It could be like their mom.
Okay.
But you have to make them famous first.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So hang on. They have to be famous, but you have to make them famous first.
Yeah.
How would you make them famous? How would you kill them?
Like killing them in an elaborate way.
I suppose, yeah.
Jigsaw.
So they have to be famous.
So here, now let's turn this question
or
around
you,
to you
Or
guys.
If they're not famous, you have to give a story of why.
Who would you kill, how, and why?
Danzig.
Yeah.
Danzig?
Yeah.
How and why?
How? Well, why? Because he inadvertently ruined my childhood.
Did he touch you?
No. He. My mom was very, very religious. She. I read Game Fan magazine, which was a video game magazine. And while they were trying to branch out, they published an interview with Danzig where they had some of his art, which was like big-titted demonic shit. My mom read it, thought it was demonic, threw out all of my fucking Game Fans. And then also, like, started fucking really screening the music I was listening to
the
and
the Game Fan.
It was a video game magazine. The music I was listening to and the video games that I was playing, really screening them heavily because of the fucking big-titted demonic shit. And then on top of that, too, he made Danzig, which sucked compared to the Misfits. So, fuck off Danzig. And how I would kill him is I feel like I would...
Yeah, none of that is Danzig's fault.
Yeah, really, not at all.
No, if he didn't exist, he could have just stopped doing stuff with the Misfits and he would have been fine. I would have loved him.
Or you could have not read big-titted demonic magazine.
But it was just a video game magazine. It was I was innocent in
Listen,
that.
You can justify it however you want. That's Listen. Not his fault. The dude's got
to
make a
point. And the method is I will get myself close to Danzig, party with him, probably do a lot of drugs with him, and then rig an OD.
Yeah?
Danzig's still kicking? He's still around?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, he was at Heavy last year, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Would you, like, Walter White him? Like, wash him, like, choke on his own puke? No spoilers?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe I would just, like, maybe I'd watch him, and then I'd laugh, and then I'd draw a big-titted demon lady on him. But that might be
would you sign your name to it?
No. Oh. That's it. I would just be like, oh, my God, Danzig and I were painting big-titted demon ladies, and then he OD'd.
Makes sense.
That'd be my story.
Makes sense.
Danzig came over. We were doing a lot of drugs and painting big-titted demon ladies.
The tits were just
ladies.
So voluptuous and then Danzig OD'd. Killed him. Yeah.
Walter, go. Don't say Obama.
And Obama, the Democrats. Thanks, Obama.
Yeah, I guess it'd have to be... fuck, man.
You hate a lot of people.
I know.
That's why his face just lit up. He was just so happy to say that.
Oh, I know.
I know. But, oh, man. I don't know. Like, I guess maybe Putin. Putin? Just because like, it'd make me...
What?
Really? It made me look really... I think I'd become really well-known for it.
Yeah, for sure, but then
especially if it was via a feat of strength.
Like if you challenged him to a feat of strength, but it was rigged
Sorry,
so that he would die?
Take it back. Putin. Air quote, hunting accident.
Oh, wow. Is he mauled by a boar?
Neither of us have our shirts on.
Nice.
Why do you not have your shirts on?
Because he doesn't do anything cool without a shirt on.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
cool.
But then real quick, what's Rusev's new gimmick?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. You're
going to
ruin it.
He's doing it in the memory of
memory
Putin.
Of Putin.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Putin
so
becomes a martyr.
Oh, my God.
He's got like a semi-Undertaker gimmick. He's got like the urn.
The ashes of Putin.
Ashes of Putin in an urn.
Yeah.
That'd be
and
real,
the urn
real
is topless. The urn is just a topless man. Yeah. And that's the ashes of Putin.
Exactly. Cool. So you guys,
yeah.
Battle War, IWS, dates?
Yeah, let me give you some plugs.
Wrapping
so,
and
ready
to
go plug myself.
Oh.
Right?
So we're actually thinking of, by actually thinking this is something that we've exchanged a single Facebook conversation, is to go to sex shops to look for sponsorships due to our amazing name.
Yeah, like go like, you know. Get a
or
sponsor.
Like get anal plugs? And
yeah, we'll get like a sponsorship.
Oh, I thought you meant like sex toys that you plug in.
Sure.
Sure, that too. No, but like
but,
plugs.
Butt plugs was the more...
Oh,
what we were thinking.
That sounds like a great idea.
But then how
great.
Do you poop?
So.
Yeah.
How do you poop? You take it out. It's there for the pleasure.
Do you
not
poop
for
it
the
out
function.
Before pooping? Like, how does that work?
It pops in and out.
It's usually like a handle.
Is it easy to get out?
I don't know.
I
feel like it makes the noise pretty loud.
Probably.
Probably sounds wetter than that.
No, it doesn't. Come on, man. That's why it's shaped a certain way. I mean, I've been...
Butt plugged? You've been pegged?
I've been... No.
Yeah, he's been pegged. Anyway, so now that
like they thought of that,
yeah, well,
like it's been around
it
for years.
Butt. Listen, it's okay.
Plugs all kinds. Plug them.
It could definitely make a noise, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, definitely. So let's go some plugs. Yeah, sure. So September 13th, I think.
14th.
14th.
Battle War
is Battle War. Live the Foofoons. Battle War 21.
And this is sort of the in my head. After the barbecue is like kind of almost like a new season.
Yeah, it is. Like that's exactly what it is.
And even though it's more or less monthly.
No, yeah, no,
yeah.
It's 21.
21.
Well, there you go. That's a nice new
yeah.
start number.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
I mean, the cumulative feud happened in Battle War 20.
Yep. Then there's the barbecue is kind of a.
Yeah, that's it. Like it bookended it, right?
Yep.
So, I will be. It's just announced today. I'm going one on one with Big Magic Shane Matthews.
Oh, that asshole.
And I look forward to chopping him.
With Olivia on his
I'm
own.
Sure Olivia
the
will be
there. Olivia.
The lovely Olivia.
And I was pretty down on myself after losing to Ryan Rogan. I won't lie to you. But I did beat Leon Saver, so I feel like I have a bit of momentum on my side again. I'm clearly in better wrestling than
think,
Shane Matthews.
Do you think the issue between you and Monsieur Rogan will ever be revisited? Who's been on the podcast, by the way?
He talked some shit about you.
Did he?
Yeah.
What did he say?
Probably that you had no talent, I think.
That I had no talent?
Compared to him. Those are his words. His words.
Right.
I don't really want to, like...
Did you see his cape?
Yeah. I did see his cape.
I mean, do you really... How credible is a man who wears a cape to the
ring? I feel that his cape often is his undoing.
I really feel like if he ever goes through a revolving door, he's going to get shot.
Just, exactly. That's what happens.
Y'all. But,
I feel like there's a lot of situations in which Ryan could probably get shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Not too many people like that guy, I'll be honest with you. I really don't. Yeah, I don't know about the situation with Rogan.
Well, you fucking... You pretty much cost him his job for several months.
I mean, I did.
Yeah, I don't understand.
But, I mean, that's kind of his
cost
fault.
Cost himself his job.
Right.
That's his fault.
I just noticed... Did you see that fucking Mason light bulb?
Absolutely, I did.
What the fuck?
I thought that you guys
that?
Planted that.
No.
I was looking at it the entire time, staring at it the entire time. The square and compass has been sitting
there's
there.
There's a light bulb.
It's a microphone.
And the
guys,
filament
and
inside it is a freaking. Is the Mason's. What the what? All right.
Anyway.
That was founded at an abandoned Mason lodge by our general manager, Jeff Agumbar. Scavenged that from an abandoned Mason lodge.
Sweet. Amazing.
It's so metal.
East Coast somewhere.
It's a Mason.
Oh. It's a Mason. Yeah. If it goes missing, I guarantee you it will not be one of these four people who
those
took
tech
it.
Producers. Stephen J. Tripp.
I have a collection.
It would be Sexy Eddie. He's the one who steals everything.
It's true.
Here's the thing, though,
including
man.
Including our
Rogan, is that I'm not really content with how we left off with things. So I guess we'll see what happens.
So I assume though, but if you can string enough wins together, Battle War, you'll be able to call him out easily, right? They'll give you the match, whatever match you want.
I mean, theoretically, I don't even know why I'm wrestling Shane Matthews. I want to be getting rid of Rogan again. I think everybody in the crowd wants me to get rid of Rogan again.
Right.
And,
but now he's got
BTG.
Brian the Guppy.
He does have sweet theme music, though. I gotta say, I love his theme as much as I hate him. As much as I hate Ryan Rogan, he's got sweet
I'm right
entrance
here.
Music, man. Every time I just
look, man, the kid is really good. He
Remind
just,
but then he comes
head.
Out with the cape, and then
that's
it's like
the problem.
No,
Shane Matthews just had a pretty big profile.
He
match.
Did. I believe he just beat Kevin Steen in his last match in Montreal.
Exactly,
so
that's a.
I mean, I get it. You know, like I'm like the singles guy that they put guys against to test if they're ready or whatever it is. And some guys beat me, and some guys don't. I'm kind of like the gatekeeper of the main event scene or whatever it is, and. I mean, Shane Matthews is going to be a challenge. I look forward to it. He's kind of got an attitude on his side. I'm really focused on Ryan Rogan right now. You know, I've always prided myself on being the thinking man's wrestler.
Are you taking any precautions to keep Rogan from ringside to fuck with your match? Or?
I keep asking Battle War Management to do something, but security just seems completely hapless there. They just don't know what to do or
maybe
sometimes
you could
they're
hire,
not even found.
Maybe you could hire Shane Matthews' Big Magic Security.
I could, yeah.
But then you'd be surrounding the ring with Big Magic supporters.
Considering they do kind of wrestle in Battle War now. But, yeah.
Adam Sky, I believe.
Adam Sky, Liam Leto, Brandon Conn, those guys were in Big Magic Security. But, yeah, so that's all I'm going to say about that. Let's just say that I didn't really – it's not sitting easy with me that he outthought me. I'm the thinking man's wrestler, and there should be nobody who's able to get one up upon me strategically. So.
And speaking of –
Yeah.
Getting up one up on you strategically, do you think that TDT kind of got one on you in IWS? Or?
Yeah.
Like, you were trying to give the fans tits, right?
Yeah, look.
That's all you were trying to do.
I'm an IWS original, you know what I mean? When I first started off, we trained in a porn studio. We were run by Wild Rose Productions. We had porn stars there, and they would show their tits, and they would make out in the ring and have, like, sexy things happening. I can't really paint a picture, but we had great boobs on display, and you know, I just wanted to give the fans what they want. The crowd was into that, so all I wanted to do was get a girl to show her boobs, and I brought a girl into the ring. She ended up wearing an SLI shirt, and then what happens? I get put through a table. Fred Lemelve steals my Canadian championship, decides that he's going to be the Quebec champion now, and self-declares him. And I haven't seen that belt, and I just got that belt.
Yeah, you got that belt.
So
that,
not only do we have Canada versus Quebec right there, which in itself, I mean, hey, you know.
Belt stealers versus belt owners.
Exactly, that's what it is. I mean, possession being 9/10 of the law only really applies in the States. Around here, you take something from me, I'm going to take your life. And I don't know, I've had a long history of Fred. I was confused as to why he attacked me. I used to be part of the SLI. You know, I mean, I've been friends with Fred 11 years now.
Remind us what SLI stands for? It's the
Syndicat de l'Internet, but we formed this SLI USA.
Right.
When we were supported by George W. Bush.
Hmm.
It was myself, Max Boyer, Fred Melvay, and then Jagger Miles, who became Jagger W. Bush, also joined. A distant Mexican relative of George W. Bush, actually. So I didn't see him.
Family tree goes all over the place.
I didn't really see what the big deal was until TDT, these rough and tumble sons of guns, they come in and they put me through a table.
And titty blocked everyone.
You know?
and titty
and
water.
The crowd cheered. And here's my question. I mean, look, Quebecois, I get it. You want to defend your territory, but eventually you got to put your differences aside and just let everybody enjoy some tits. You know?
Everybody true loses. Words.
It's the end of language politics, guys.
Boobs.
We all love them.
So that's
the end of the podcast.
That's pretty much the end of the podcast. So September 14th.
September 14th is Battle War. September 20th, IWS. Check me out at C4. You can get me online on Twitter at Superstar Hawk. You can get me on Facebook, Shane Hawk. And you can get me on Instagram, Shane Hawk VS Instagram.
Okay, do not forget to keep an eye out for hashtag Heavy Mania.
Yep.
Big things coming soon.
Because, yeah, it sounds like if there's any sort of a tie into this year's, it'll be fucking crazy.
Let's
right?
just say that Heavy Mania has legs, and we're doing our part to save the planet, you know, one step at a time. And as we get more information, we'll release it, you know what I mean?
Keep an eye out, guys.
Keep an eye out. Walter, yeah. Do you have anything that's coming up this
I
weekend?
I do. Thursday, when is this coming out?
This comes up Thursday morning-ish.
Thursday morning, I'm at the Nest.
The Nest Thursday night?
Thursday night. Opening for Deanne Smith. Go check out Deanne Smith. She's closing.
You know Deanne.
This weekend.
Sort of guest friend of the podcast.
Yeah, Deanne's headlining at the Nest this weekend. I'm opening on Thursday night.
Yep.
And yeah, and then all kinds of. I'm getting married in October.
We're going to have more episodes between now and then.
I probably have something. Oh, yeah. And I guess. And I assume that I'll be. I think I'm coming back to host September 20th at IWS. Yeah, I think so.
Oh.
I didn't fuck up too badly.
You didn't?
So, no, apparently not.
Oh, that's news to me.
Manny sees me yesterday, goes 100% improvement from last time.
Really?
Yeah.
So I guess
saw him say that.
Yeah. Just because I yelled more.
His main notes in the first time were yell more.
And I did that. And then he was happy.
Yeah.
So now thank you guys.
Thanks for coming out. That was awesome. Yeah, right. A lot of fun. Those sweet, sweet piano tunes you're listening to right now come courtesy of Leland Beckman and Oral Turpitude. Oh man, that was some great podcasting, wasn't it? Anyhow, be sure as always to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, add us on iTunes, buy our stuff, and basically try as hard as you can to make us happy in every single way possible. Of course, be sure to check back every day on 9to5.cc for comics on Wednesdays, podcasts on Thursdays, Scott or Sophie's art on Fridays, and seriously, we'll try as hard as we can to get Zombies and Loathing, Fuck Mondays, and Templars back as soon as we can. Thanks for listening, everyone.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you?